You're listening to In This League
on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ace. Featuring Bogman.
Oh, the yummy silence. Oh, it tastes so good, you guys.
Oh, he's on tilt. He's full tilt.
And the Welsh.
Nice.
Bogman, let's not overreact.
Are you serious?
Make a little pick. Get down tonight. What?
Nice.
Too high score, is that bad?
Visit InThisLeague.com for full podcasts and more. Coming to your ears now.
What is up? What is happening? This is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am the Welsh, Christopher Welsh, on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. That right there, that's Scott Bogman, who you can find on Twitter at Bogman Sports. And this rendition of In This League right here is brought to you by No Halftime. Our good buddies over at No Halftime have this very cool app. You can find it at nohalftime.com or your Apple or Android store, the Google Play store. Go check it out. It's player versus player matchups. You've never played any type of fantasy DFS game quite like this because it's not a lineup for yearly or daily. It is one player versus another player. Use our promo code ITL16. They're going to give you $10 when you get hooked up. They're also giving you a 100% match deposit up to $100 when you use that promo code ITL16. And they're also giving away some tickets online. If you go to @InHalftime on Twitter, they got a contest every single week where they're giving two tickets away to an NFL game. So ITL and No Halftime are hooking you up with some deposit matches, some tickets. It's all courtesy of No Halftime, and they're hooking us up here. It's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break, Bogman.
I told you I went to the doctor, right? And I'm going to live.
Oh, so, you're going
to
live?
Yeah, I'm just fat. That's what they said.
We don't want you to lose weight. We just want you to be healthy by eating less. We would just like it if you go home and step on a scale and write down how much you weigh and subtract it by like 20.
20.
And then weigh that much.
You know, they said don't be so fat.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Yeah, don't go chasing waterfalls. Stick to the rivers and lakes that you used to. And so you're going to be stuck with me for a little while longer. So the search for a co-host ends because, you know, I mean, it could all be over tomorrow because of something else. But health-wise, I should be okay. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm doing good.
Yeah.
I'm not. I should be all right.
The Green Bay Packers are calling you right now. They're like, what? Are you 250 plus? Get on it.
It's funny because he's fat.
Get on in.
I wouldn't be good in a locker room with Eddie Lacy, though, because me and him would be splitting pizzas and ordering China food. And
it'd be like the hot dog eating contest. It'd be like Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi.
Like Kobayashi.
It would be a lot like if anyone has seen Louie when him and his buddy did the Bang Bang. Do you ever see that?
No, I don't even know that one.
It was where they go and eat till they're almost sick at a restaurant, and then they wait like an hour and then do the same thing at another restaurant.
Oh, that sounds awful.
They called it a Bang Bang.
Oh, why would you do that?
Because you're just an uncontrollable pig. I mean, that's why I've actually never done that. I don't believe you. I've never done that. I just can't, like, I want to enjoy the food.
Yeah.
So and like the after effects have kept me like at where I am.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I have this, like, and I know everyone has this moment, and this is what disgusting, horrible pigs we are as human beings. It's like you, and it's gluttonous too, where you have these moments where you're just like, you eat something and it just makes you feel horrible, but then you just let it forget. Like every time I go to Chipotle, I go there thinking like, I really want Chipotle. It's going to be so good. And halfway through it, I'm just like, this is the worst choice I've made for myself in so long. Why did I do this?
I get that way with Alfredo pasta because, like, some Alfredo pastas are really good and they're okay.
Oh,
but some of the ones use something in it that I'm, like, mildly allergic to. I don't know if it's some type of
lettuce.
You know, I love lettuce. if there's some kind of cream they use or something, yeah, maybe some diet thing that I'm not used to. I don't know what it is. But, like, I get flush. Like my face gets flushed and I'm like, I'm in for a bad time.
Yeah, that's just coming death. That's soon. Just death coming. That you know what that is? That's 30 plus years old. Like everything is okay when you're under 30.
My face looks like Tom Coughlin's when they played the Packers in the NFC Championship. That's what my face starts to look like.
Totally. I go to like a movie and I eat like popcorn and a soda and then I'm like sweating and I'm flushed. I'm like, why is this happening? This is not supposed to be like this. This is not good. All right, let me ask you something real quick.
Yes.
Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
Debate.
Go away, Baton.
or Sunday Night Football.
Not debate.
You Come missed on. Out on, I think, the cultural icon of our time. The thuggish, the ruggish Ken Bone.
Who?
Bogman, you don't know Ken Bone?
Yeah, I had a really nice olive suit that I love a great deal, and my mother would have been very proud to see me wearing on television. But apparently I've gained about 30 pounds, and when I went to get in my car the morning of the debate, I split the seat of my pants all the way open. So the red sweater is plan B. I'm glad it worked out.
You're acting like this is some famous person. Like, you don't know. No, I don't know who that is. Who
Ken
is that?
Bone, I'm telling you, I am obsessed with him. Ken Bone, before the debates happened, which, oh my God, that I don't know how the Sunday night game was, but I can tell you there were more hits and there was more bloody noses and concussions after that debate. Ken Bone stole the show. He went into the night, I believe he said, with 14 followers on Twitter.
Two of which were my grandmother, because she had to remake her account when she forgot her password.
Come Monday morning, had 41,000.
Good.
41,000 Twitter followers when they confirmed. Joe Kelly from the Boston Red Sox was leaving playoff tickets for him. Check this out. It's all about the style. He wore this red V-neck, like, zipped sweater, Izod sweater, and he goes up there like he's in a room.
That's a good look.
It's a solid look with that, you know, that really great Uncle Rico mustache.
Oh, yeah, that's not so much a good look.
You know, and kind of like balding, like our buddy Ryan Cornell, kind of balding up there.
Oh,
and
our friend the Welsh.
Yeah, no, I'm solid. I mean, I'm thinning. I'm not balding. Like, I don't have the hair is not like
jerk.
Leaving.
Okay. You know, Cornell's having a good time. The Falcons won, and here comes the Welsh with a right.
No, but don't worry about it. He's a cultural icon. He's a sex symbol now. This Ken Bone is. Bone goes up, and he asks Trump and Hillary, you know, just some dumb question, because it doesn't matter. Because the minute you look at him, it's like love at first sight with Ken Bone. So after Bill Clinton's coming
what
up to him,
talking about,
dude, it's the funniest thing ever. He's walking around taking pictures on stage with a disposable camera.
A red sweater took a picture and asked some questions, and now he's a cultural icon and a sex symbol.
Dude, he's got parody accounts. There's 1,000 Bone Thugs in Harmony with him. Dude, there are football cleats with his name on it. I have suggested. Now, by the way, this
is
my idea. Bogman, this is my idea. And if this happens, anyone listening has to back me up here. So first off, this is how incredible this person is. I told you he wore a red Izod sweater.
Yeah.
Amazon is 100% sold out of red Izod sweaters up to extra large. They only have 2X through 5X available. That is the ultra icon.
So they saved them for this guy then.
What I am suggesting, and I'm giving this and I just want credit when someone does it. I'm waiting for the minor league affiliate team to do Ken Bone red Izod sweater appreciation jersey night.
Man.
It is going to happen. I guarantee it on everything I know. It is going to happen next season, and be on the lookout for it. You missed out on, Twitter was like 36,500 people were talking about Ken Bone. He's more popular than Chewbacca Mom.
That's not me making that noise. It's the mask. Here, listen.
It sounds like he's more popular than both the presidential candidates.
Oh, dude, are you kidding me? Bone for president, 100%.
He's more popular than Chewbacca Mom?
He's more popular than Chewbacca Mom, yes.
How horrible is our society where we're talking about red Izod sweater guy and Chewbacca Mom?
It's like, a horrible world we live in.
I like Chewbacca Mom. I know some people are like, oh, God, she gets famous for this thing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, she was just having fun and having a good time. Leave the lady alone. Who cares?
Yeah, well, it's the same effect. Think of Chewbacca. I mean, really, they should get these two together. That's a match made in heaven. Chewbacca Mom, the same
I think
effect.
Chewbacca Mom has a husband, though, doesn't she?
I don't know, but I don't. Ken Bone, I think. His wife dressed him, as he told everybody in interviews. And he's embracing this. People wrote songs about him. Go on.
My God.
I swear to God, at Ken Bone 18, I'm obsessed with him. I hope it's more than 15 minutes.
Okay, you've been watching Westworld, right?
Yes.
Are we the world that Ken Bone Bone? B-O-N-E?
B-O-N-E. Like, people are like, okay, there's no way that's a real name.
Okay, so are we the world that Ken Bone pays to go in like the people pay in Westworld, where now he does one dumb thing and everybody is clamoring all over him?
Oh,
is that, are we like, are we the hosts or whatever? Is that what's happening
we're
right
the
now?
We're the robots. We're all, we are all here servicing Ken Bone's world.
That's what she said.
I don't like it.
I don't like how I phrase that either. I don't know.
No.
I'm hashtag bone zone. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Hashtag, all right.
Hashtag bone zone. That's a real hashtag. All right.
What's his favorite football team?
I don't know, but he did have a background of a baseball thing going on. So he's a sports fan. I want to get him on the show right now. This is an open call. Ken Bone, you're welcome to come on. Cultural icon. We got a couple other cultural icons joining us on the show today. This is a great episode because in hour two, we're going to be joined by two thirds of the fantastic and very, very, very popular fantasy football show, The Fantasy Footballers, as the hitman, Mike Wright and Jason Moore, two thirds of them. Annie Holloway couldn't make it. They're going to be joining us in the second hour, where we're going to be talking about, as they have deemed it, David Johnson. We're going to talk Cardinals. We're going to talk about some running backs, some week six plays, and a whole bunch more coming in the second hour. As well, coming up in this next segment, we're going to be talking about the lead. Bogman's got some impressions for you, so don't go anywhere for that. And we're going to be hitting up some waivers. Go to InThisLeague.com, though, today. You can check out what we have going on with all of our shows, as we do a fantasy basketball show, college football, baseball. We're out here in Arizona, and the Arizona Fall League is about to start up. And actually, this week, Bogman and I are going to go try to hit up a game, try to go see some Cubs, some Diamondbacks prospects. That is very much what we're into. So if you like a Major League Baseball prospects, we will be covering that on our website and do some special Fall League shows. So we will be out there. So if you're out here in Arizona, come say hi to us. But InThisLeague.com, that's your home. That's your home base. That's the hub where you can find all the stuff that we have going on. And we would love for you to check it all out. But we got a great show for you in store here. No Ken Bone, unfortunately. That's the only thing that we're missing in this entire show. But on Twitter, at IsItTheWelsh. On Twitter, at Bogman Sports. That's where you can ask us any question of what's going on. But coming up, we're going to talk about the lead, Tom Brady, Charles Sims on the IR. What are you going to do in the good, the bad, and the ugly? It's Bogman of the Welsh. It's In This League on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, Bogman, the lead, and he's back. Tom Brady back with a vengeance, 28 for 40, 406 yards. I do recall someone on this podcast mentioning that he was a 400-yard lock. Three touchdowns. Martellus Bennett, the god, with three this touchdowns.
Is, god. This is like, he's making Gronk great again. Gronk was good, too.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
This is like when you said, I want good players. You know, way to go out on a limb, the Welsh. Say Tom Brady's going to get a whole bunch of yards in his first game back against Cleveland.
I know. I mean,
way to be a risk taker.
I got the hot takes here, ladies and gentlemen. I got the info for you. So what I want to ask you, because this is what's on everyone's mind.
Yes.
How happy is Bill Belichick right now? I mean, he was so upset, he possibly destroyed property of the New England Patriots. He's never done that before with videotapes or balls or anything like that. He destroyed a Microsoft Surface because he was so upset. Tom Brady's back. Like, what level do you think Belichick gets of excitement? Do you think he, like, is in the shower and he's, like, singing? Like, he's so excited about Brady? Like, what would Belichick sing?
I'm very excited that Tom Brady's back. Would you like to hear a tune? Is that what you're asking me?
Bill, I would love to hear your Brady excitement song.
Hey, Brady, you so fine. You so fine. You blow my mind. Hey Brady.
Okay, that's a good one. Bill, what else do you have?
My Brady's back and you're gonna be in trouble. Hey now, Tom Brady's back.
That's a solid one. Bill, do you have anything a little bit more contemporary for Brady coming back?
Yes, I have my great friend Eminem. Guess who's back? Back again. Brady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
That's solid.
Very
solid.
Excited.
I can tell you're really, really excited to have Tom back.
Tom's back, and you know, LeGarrette Blount played a good game, and Martellus Bennett was pretty good in the red zone, and Gronk's getting more healthy, and the defense played well, and you know, it's the Browns. I mean, we're going to kick their ass no matter who's on their team every single time.
Bill, do you think tablets are safe in your custody now? Or do you really just not like that Microsoft Surface?
Those damn things just don't work. You know, I don't know how to run these damn things. I just throw it out. I don't care.
Obviously an Apple
fan. I'll just watch the camera from the other team's practice and we'll go from that.
Maybe Belichick is paying for tokens. Tokens? Like, we'll show you the next page of the playbook, but that'll be 700 tokens, Bill.
All right. Ah, oh, damn it. I'm out of tokens again. I see this.
It's just Tom Brady dancing to Eminem's song. That's what it is in the background. All right. Well, Tom Brady's back. Your top five quarterback that, you know, I mean, it's so amazing that we had this exact same conversation last year. It's like, well, you know, Brady was still worth taking later. And did we say this last week with Chris Harris, where you're almost walking in this week to say Tom Brady might be the number one fantasy quarterback to own right now, even though, you know, Aaron Rodgers is definitely continuing his form, which is making me feel validated, you know, outside of the rest of these guys. But Brady is back. You probably had Stafford, or you probably had Dalton.
Yes. Yeah. Brady's back and you're going to be in trouble. Exactly. I mean, you know, this is, you wait the 4 weeks. Hopefully you just took one of these guys. You didn't take Josh Gordon, Tom Brady, and Jamal Charles. You know
Arian
what I mean?
Foster.
Hopefully nobody took Arian Foster.
And
I
Keenan
couldn't have
Allen.
Said it. I couldn't have said it more.
You know, I would die. I would just love. I give me your worst team. Someone out there. No, I want, like, I know there's a human being out there that took, like, Charles Foster.
But they're not listening anymore.
Keenan Allen. Yeah, you're right.
You should be saying this on the basketball podcast.
I really should. Maybe we should do a new episode on the baseball podcast and be like, did you draft Keenan Allen? Yeah, you're right about that. There's just somebody who drafted. They had Charles Sims and Doug Martin. Oh, just, it's so horrible. I just want to relish in that type of misery. But the rest of the NFL is going to have to relish in how great the Patriots look. The offense just right back into it. Sexy Julian was not as sexy as we need him to be, but that's coming soon.
He'll be fine, you know, when he's on the field.
I was trolling, by the way. I was trolling Yancey Eaton, our good buddy Yancey.
Can you guys imagine if he actually starts, like, really stroking it?
Did you see that where somebody asked me?
I answered the same way, but you answered before me, so you got the.
Well, he trolled me. Someone was like, LeGarrette Blount or McKinnon. I'm like, Blount, and then Yancey's like, strong disagree. So
I get where he was coming from.
Totally.
Because Blount was, like, kind of banged up the whole week. He barely even practiced, and it looked like they were going to get up early, so maybe they would pull him. They both sucked, except for,
well,
the difference was Blount got in the end zone,
yeah,
and McKinnon didn't.
And one of the first plays of the game, Blount went for 12, so I said, strongly disagree, for 12 yards. And then and then Yancey acknowledged it. And then when he got the touchdown, I was like, strongly disagree for the touchdown. And I even got Brandon Marianne Lee in that, where she was favoriting that. So a little troll to our good buddy there. All right, number two here, I kind of alluded to it. This is a multi-part thing with the running backs. Charles Sims, a very surprising IR jump, which, you know, he could return, so this could be 8 weeks, but I don't know if it truly matters at this point that you even need to care about it. Eddie Lacy was hurt. It doesn't look like it was serious. He will have a week that he can spend at the Fat Burger, but because he might miss week six.
Did you see him sitting on the trainer's table?
No, was it bending?
It was. I didn't see that part, but he just looked like a fat kid who, sprained his ankle during recess.
Didn't get picked. He was the last pick.
Or like the fat kid that got knocked out of dodgeball and now has to go sit on the side. Like, that's what he looked like, with a lot of hair.
We don't want you to lose weight. We just want you to be healthy.
Okay.
You know, by eating less. We would just like it if you go home and step on a scale and write down how much you weigh and subtract it by like 20.
20.
And then weigh that much.
How are people saying he's in shape?
You got to imagine that, like Aaron, someone in that locker room where there's millions of dollars, they just go to Eddie Lacy and they're like, Eddie, $25,000, do the truffle shuffle. Right?
Right? I bet. Why not? I mean, he's ripped. Like, he's got huge arms and huge legs. And
a huge, you know, tummy.
Yeah, it's not like he... Oh, tummy's a horrible word.
God. I have children, so the word tummy is...
Like, all the children's words creep me out because I don't have children. So, but yeah, he's got my boiler going on. And it's just, you know, I mean, he's ripped. He's way stronger than me. But Jesus, he looks like...
Bogman doesn't like the tum-tum. Doesn't like the tummy.
He looks like if I just worked out for 3 years straight, but I kept my horrific diet. Like, that's what he looks like.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like that. So he's hurt, might miss week six, something to monitor. Latavius Murray, another one of those that I feel good about, out. DeAndre Washington, though, that whole situation is just a dumpster fire disaster.
It's so different than what it was last year. Yeah. It's just so strange. And, you know, all they talked about the whole offseason was, oh, Latavius is going to get all he can handle. And then now every damn running back gets four carries. I don't understand, because DeAndre Washington hasn't been good either. So.
Well, none of them are. Yeah, exactly. But so the point of this, and then Jeremy Hill got banged up. We're back into that, like, oh no, oh no, the running backs are getting hurt again. And we've just started to creep in. We'll kind of allude to this with the footballers here in just a little bit. But we're starting to reach that time that you and I talked a lot in the preseason about. And I feel like it is happening like a week or two early, but we're on the cusp of it. So if you have the ability to take take advantage of it.
Hunger Games.
Essentially, that's what it is.
Who will last all 16 weeks?
The older, the middling older guys are going to slowly possibly start fading away. And we're seeing guys, and not completely, but we are going to see guys like Devontae Booker, who is already, and to a huge worry to CJ Anderson fans, eating into time. Wendell Smallwood. Kenneth Dixon is a week or two away from probably taking over the majority of the role. Kenyon Drake, possibly. We're seeing, and everybody but Derrick Henry, of course, the one that we thought was like a lock. But all of these guys, as some of these, you know, these running back twos that you guys have been rostering, even running back ones, are getting hurt and getting out. These rookies, they're starting to get their play in. So the question with this is, like, where are you going to go with it? Like, how do you manage this? Who is the young rookie guy? Is it DeAndre Washington? Is it Booker? Is it Smallwood? I know you've been holding on to Dixon. Are you going to lock into those guys right now? And would you be willing to move one of these more? Now, you can't move Charles Sims, but would you be willing to move maybe a Latavius or a Lacey for another position and start getting ready to roster these guys?
Well, I think Latavius and Lacey are different. You know, just if Lacey's not hurt, he's the guy. He was having a fantastic game before he got hurt in this game. But that's, it's definitely a strategy. I'm not going to say I would do it because it really depends on your situation. But I think if I somehow have depth at running back, which I don't know one person who has depth at running back anymore this year, I would consider doing something like that, like moving an Eddie Lacy for a wideout I need or a tight end that's not
this?
Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, you should get Martellus Bennett. The black unicorn, mm-hmm. baby. I want you to not give me an answer, and we're excluding Kenneth Dixon from the answer, because that's your programming. That's your Westworld programming, is to go Kenneth Dixon. You're not allowed to say Kenneth Dixon. Give me the running back, and I want rookie running back, because there's plenty to talk about. We'll talk about in waivers. Jaquizz Rodgers was just unbelievable, but I want the one rookie running back in your eyes is going to be the must-own. DeAndre Washington, Devontae Booker, Wendell Smallwood. I'll still give you Derrick Henry. You can't say Ezekiel Elliott, obviously. Which one of those backup running backs is the one that you feel you have to own right now?
Kenneth Dixon.
Damn you.
First of all, it's got to be Kenneth Dixon. I mean, and a lot of people are going to roll their eyes and drop him. 3 carries for -1 yard is not going to do much for inspiration. But just remember, I'll say Devontae Booker behind him.
I agree.
Because he got into a lot of that game, and he was really eating into some playing time. Now, I am a little concerned because they ran a lot because Trevor Siemian was out and Paxton Lynch was having a tough time against that Atlanta defense. Atlanta defense, by the way, good Lord, they look good. That whole team looks good. But I would probably have to say Devontae Booker, because it looks like he's eating into time pre-CJ Anderson injury.
Yes, so, and I agree with that. And I like and you know, when we talked a lot about Devontae Booker, this might be the time. I don't think it ever pays off. DeAndre Washington's the interesting one, but the caveat and the thing you do need to understand is it was against San Diego, and they give up like top five against running backs, and he got 9 carries, 23 yards, which wasn't great, but he did pick up
plus
5
Simeon
catches.
Simeon was out. Like, that's, yeah, it's definitely something to look at. I mean, it's just like the whole deal with Wendell Smallwood. I mean,
well, I was saying DeAndre Washington, Smallwood, by the way.
Yeah, and Dwayne Washington was in there too. But the whole thing with Wendell Smallwood was everybody was all on Wendell Smallwood because he had a good game against Pittsburgh. But I mean, Doug Peterson came out and said, Bryan Matthews is healthy. He's our guy. And Wendell Smallwood had saw one snap. So he's not going to be in there until Ryan Matthews is hurt. Now, I mean, if you've watched Ryan Matthews play ever, you know it's kind of a when and not if he gets hurt. But, you know, who knows when that's going to happen, because Sproles is getting a lot of work too. So, you know, outside of that, I mean, obviously Jordan Howard is a good rookie to own. I mean, but there's not many other guys that maybe Peyton Barber, now that Charles Sims is on the IR, he got some work behind Jaquizz Rodgers.
It's all about the it's all about the speculative backup. That's where you're going with it. And I think it's Booker. I think it's DeAndre Washington. Wendell Smallwood has a role, but we're waiting for an injury. But guess what? You don't have to worry about it because all the running backs get injured. But interestingly enough, let's go to number three on the lead. It's running backs had a pretty, this is a big ass days. David Johnson, number one, I believe, number one fantasy. DeMarco Murray.
Number one stunner.
LeSean McCoy, Le'Veon Bell, Zeke, the Tevin Coleman, Devontae Freeman, Buck, both Jordan Howard, Buck. I mean, we had some major, we are getting back, hopefully, into some major fantasy running back performances.
You don't believe that.
I mean,
there's going to be good performances every week from some running backs. Just take a look at what happened. The ones that are healthy produced. I mean, yeah.
But check this out, dude. Nine.
The problem is finding healthy ones.
Yeah, you're right. It is. And in a half-point PPR scoring system, 9 running backs scored 20 or more points in a half-point PPR. Of course, Cameron Artis Payne did against me in one league. Of course he did. He scored 20. But the names on this list are those ones we just talked about. Coleman, Jordan Howard, Bell, Hyde, Freeman. If you want to go down into the 15-plus, you're still getting Jalen Richard in a half-point PPR, put up 15 points. Giovanni Bernard, Ryan Matthews, Jaquizz Rodgers had 30 damn carries for 101 yards and 5 catches. I mean, Matt Asiata, he went crazy.
Vulture.
Yeah,
Vulture McKinnon. Matt Asiata is the reason that you could troll Yancey so hard, because McKinnon had 2 tries at the end zone, couldn't get in, and then they gave it to Asiata once, and he got in.
it's impressive, and it's nice to see, and it's nice to see a lot of the bigger names. You know, Todd Gurley still hasn't fully broken. Now, of course, he had, 72 with a touchdown, 3 catches for 36 yards, made a damn fumble, but it's nice to see the big names at the top. And believe you me, we're going to talk about some David Johnson with the fantasy footballers here, but running backs are starting to turn that corner. Number four, this is in Bogman's world, and this is someone I was kind of behind here, but let's talk about the Jekyll and Hyde nature of one Sammy Coates. I don't know if I've seen a guy drop passes like this since Brandon LaFell.
I mean, so Sammy Coates, we all know that, look, Sammy Coates lacks experience catching the ball, and it's kind of funny to say that for a wide receiver, but you got to remember his situation. So he was a JUCO transfer into Auburn, and Auburn is a big time program. They don't throw the ball that much since Cam left. They have a bunch of scrub quarterbacks, so he's not going to catch the ball a whole lot. And then last year in his rookie season when he was drafted, he didn't get many opportunities. He didn't get an opportunity until the end of the year when Antonio Brown got the cheap shot from Vontaze Burfict and missed the next playoff game. He was big in that Denver game. So that's why I was talking him up early in the preseason and stuff. But then you hear all these reports out of Pittsburgh that Eli Rogers is the guy. He runs better routes. He catches the ball better. And in week one, we saw that. Eli was just better than Sammy Coates. But then Eli has the hamstring injury, and Sammy Coates gets another opportunity. And I would say he's running with it, but if he could catch the ball and run routes just a little bit better, he could be a top end wide receiver. I'm not going to say next year because I don't think the transition is there next year. But I think in 2 years, this is a guy who you could see being a top end wide receiver if he really, really grinds on it, like, you know, Antonio Brown does. Like if he's all about his craft. But he had a big day, but he still only runs two routes. He runs the go and he runs the in.
He's a playmaker, man. Well, ironically, he fits the same role that John Brown does with the Cardinals, and they're finding some efficiency with it. And you know what the problem with him is? He doesn't drop 1,000 passes. When you go and look, like, okay, 3 catches on 4 targets, 6 catches on 8 targets, 6 catches on 11 targets. But the ones he drops, they're so bad. They're so bad, it makes you just...
He had a laceration on his hand.
From not catching the ball? The ball just cracked his hand in half?
It might have. I don't know. I mean, Big Ben throws that ball pretty hard. So, it's a built-in excuse for him. Sure. But
okay.
If he keeps dropping the ball like this, I love him, but I'm afraid for when Eli Rogers comes back that if he's running the wrong routes and he's dropping the ball, that Tomlin doesn't mess around with that stuff. We talked about it before. I've seen him pull guys. You fumble the ball, you know, unless your name is Bell or D'Angelo or Brown, you're probably coming out of the game. I mean, we saw Marcus Wheaton have a big drop, and then he only had one other catch because he wasn't on the field
much. And one thing to point out with him is, and this is pretty interesting, Sammy Coates has not had less than 50 yards in a single game this season. So, I mean, that's 5 points right there.
Yeah.
56, 97, 50, 79, and 139. Now, PPR, he doesn't show up too much because the catches are low, but he's a big play guy. So I think he's interesting. He's a player. This is not the week to buy on him. I would totally try to sell high if I had the opportunity and someone wanted to, but I would wait to see if, you know, maybe he doesn't have the huge game against Miami. And I would try to buy on him because there's consistent numbers. Sammy Coates is going to be probably one of like three guys that has the sneakiest 1,000-yard season that we've seen. Yeah, all of a sudden, we're going to look and he's going to have like 1,050 yards by season's end.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that, or he could have 600 yards, and all of it could be front-loaded because I'm telling you, like, I'm concerned about him coming back. Now, I can tell you, if Eli Rogers misses two more games and Sammy's putting up these big games and getting these big gainers and stuff, Ben looks to him every single time, and yeah. He was pissed because a couple times Sammy didn't turn around for the ball, and he's like, look, I'm going to look for you on every play. You've sure. got to be there.
He's a big
so
play guy.
It's like we said at the beginning of this part, you know, Jekyll and Hyde. If he is good for the next 2 weeks and Eli Rogers doesn't come back, then I'm sorry, you're going to get Wally pipped. You know, we got to have the best guys on the field. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Eli Rogers takes over Marcus Wheaton's role at that point. But
what if somebody offered you Sammy Coates for your injured Dante Moncrief?
If I'm desperate, I would do it.
Desperate,
like I need, you know, I'm starting, I'm starting Bryce Butler. I'm starting Robert Woods. You know, I'm trying to get lucky with a Cameron Meredith pickup. You know, one of those things. I think I would do it in that situation.
Okay. All right,
but if I had decent wideouts, I think I would just hold on for Moncrief to come back because Philip Dorsett is making no progress.
All right. Well, let's for the last one here, let's travel down to the West World for the good, the bad, the ugly.
Are you having so much fun, punk? Well, are ya? It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's right, punk. It's the good. How great is it that that show, by the way, has brought back sci-fi and westerns? Two of just my favorite things.
Michael Crichton, man.
Love Michael. Dude, Michael Crichton is just gold. Everything he touches, gold. Except for the things that weren't good. But I love Westerns. Absolutely love Westerns.
Except
so,
for the things that weren't good.
It's a hot
somebody,
take.
Somebody on Reddit put, they did a add ING to any movie title to see if it's funny. And somebody had Jurassic Parking.
Oh, that's great.
they made a somebody made a, you know, a poster for it, and it was a T-Rex sitting in one of those Jeeps trying to park it.
Reddit, always gold. Well, speaking of gold, the good this week, and I definitely think there's multiple candidates here.
You could go in a million places.
Yeah, Martellus Bennett, I think that might be the likely one. But Bogman got to put together this list, mm-hmm. and he put Ben Roethlisberger, because I think you could put Jordan Howard on here. I think you could put David Johnson on here, but no.
Well, I mean, Bogman last put week, Ben Roethlisberger. A thousand of them, and you're like, let's only do one. Let's only do one. So this week, I only picked one, you jerk. Make up your damn mind.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, the one that you picked was Ben Roethlisberger.
He had 380 yards and four touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota had four touchdowns.
Yeah, but okay. Roethlisberger threw for 380 yards.
It's okay. You can want to talk about Big Ben. Do you need to get Big Ben out of your system there, like many people have had to do?
Oh, you jerk. No, I mean, he was good. 380 yards. Brown had a big day. The Outlaw caught a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell had 9 catches. And Sammy Coates, we know what he did. Really, really good day. Steelers seem to be back on track after that stupid Philly slip up. So, Big Ben. I would have said Brady, but we already talked about him.
Yeah.
We already talked about Bennett. And I mentioned Jordan Howard. So shut your damn mouth. Ben Roethlisberger.
I still love Antonio Brown. If I had Antonio Brown and David Johnson, like on a keeper league, I would just be set forever. That would just the two favorite players to watch. But the bad Lamar Miller. Hey, yeah. Hey Bogman, remember all that 9 overall Lamar Miller hype? Remember how people were taking Lamar Miller in the first? Remember how people were taking him 7, maybe 6 because he was going to catch all the balls?
That's what she said.
And run all the yards.
Well, he was
8 for 20 with a catch
is
for
legit,
4 yards.
Like, yeah, 8 for 20 with one catch for 4 yards. Do you think that maybe almost everybody is a bench against Minnesota at this point?
Kinda. The purple people eaters, that's what's
back. They're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just demolishing. I actually want to go look. Like, I'm trying to think of I'm not gonna actually go look. I don't have that in me, but I'm wondering like what have they actually given up?
Not much. I mean, they've looked really good. And even stupid, in this, it's painful for me to say this, even stupid Sam Bradford looks good there.
Bogman, I mean, they have not given up.
He made Adam Thielen look good this week.
They check this out. They have not given up more than 16 points in a single game. 13, mm-hmm. 10, 10, 14, and 6 is what they have given up. One game, they had 0 sacks, but they had 2, 5, 8, and 4. They've had at least one pick in every single game, and one game they had 3 picks. They've recovered a fumble in 3 of the 5 games, 2 of those being multiple fumble recovery games.
Have they played Chicago yet?
They haven't even played Chicago yet. They've played Tennessee, Green Bay, Carolina, the Giants, and Houston, and they're going to come back, and they're going to play Philly, Chicago, Detroit, Washington in their next 4 after the bye.
Just wait until they play Chicago with all and Washington with
how
all
many
those
sacks? Let's have an
problem.
Over/under 7
150.
Sacks. 150. 7 sacks is over/under.
Over.
Two
I'll,
picks.
I'll take the over.
2 picks.
Over. It's Brian Hoyer over.
Defensive touchdowns 1.5.
I'll take the under on that.
They're so good. Minnesota
they're
is
really,
so
really good. They look like Denver from last year. Yeah, and Denver looks like Denver from last year, too, until they ran into Matt Ryan, Matty Ice.
They're so good.
There you go, Cornell.
Minnesota is so good. They literally made us stop talking about a first-round running back in the bad because we just had to talk about how good they are. But Lamar Miller, let's hope it's one of the only few really bad games because
I mean, they're going to have to start leaning on him because Osweiler is terrible.
Boy.
They paid him $78 million.
To suck.
He sucks. He is not good. I mean, there's room for improvement because he's still young, but he has looked terrible so far. It's not good.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the worst, the ugly.
And they're not this bad.
How about the Cleveland Browns? Let's just do it all. Cody Kessler, Charlie Whitehurst, everything about them is just
they
not
both got
good.
Hurt. They both got Pryor was taking snaps at the end of that game.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. I love Terrell Pryor. I love watching him out there. He just looks, you know what he actually reminds me of? And I'm not comparing skill set because that would be blasphemous.
He reminds me of a prisoner who's like really good at basketball, but knows that he can't play in the NBA because he's a prisoner. I think that's what he reminds me of.
What does that even mean? Oh, because he's on Cleveland Island. Yeah, yeah, I know. I agree with that. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, being Alcatraz.
The better it would have been like, you know, a 1A college basketball.
Johnny Manziel has it right.
It would have been like a 1A college basketball player going to jail and playing pickup games, something like that. But I was going to say, you know, just physically when I watch him, it reminds me of Randy Moss. He's not in it by any means. Don't get me wrong. And he's not going to have anything close to resembling a Randy Moss career.
Somebody else. How about Anquan Randall-El? You know, but taller.
Well, no. Because he's got that really like just tall, lengthy. He's got those huge, long arms. It just reminds me of Randy Moss when I look at him. Like every time he goes up, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to pull it down. Like I think of Randy Moss and I'm like, oh wait, he was a quarterback and he plays for the Browns and he was a Buckeye. So he's not going to probably catch them all, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. It's just, you know, I can guarantee you if the Browns don't flat out beat the Steelers this year, they will give them a run for their money in one game because this always happens. When the Steelers look like they are completely unstoppable, they trip over Cleveland somehow every single time. Don't know how it happens.
Will you start going on antidepressants if Cleveland beats Pittsburgh this year?
No, because they beat – dude, Brady Quinn beat Pittsburgh. Pac-12? My buddy Joe emailed me from Iraq to tell me about that game that I was, of course, watching just to give me. So it's things like that. That's why I'm afraid of I wasn't even comfortable with that Jets game that we won going away because it reminded me of the Bucks game from 2 years ago where we let them hang around and hang around and hang around. And then they came back and beat us in the end. So it's I don't know.
When is that game happening?
Cleveland doesn't happen for a couple more weeks. We've got Miami this week, and then we've got New England.
Cleveland rocks.
It makes me nervous, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, we've got Miami, New England, Baltimore, Dallas, and then the first Cleveland
game. Week 10?
I don't know when the bye week is. It's 11/20.
All right. So. Well, 11/20 is the Cleveland show. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's a horrible Cleveland laugh. I don't do impressions, though. No, I do the Belichick. Yeah, see, there you go. See, always one-upper.
All right, that was the lead. A lot of good stuff there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Of course, I'm going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger, the Welsh. What are you thinking?
I know.
But stay tuned. We've got the waiver wire coming up. Maybe you want to pick up some Fozzie Whitaker. Maybe Kenneth Dixon is there. Maybe Sammy Coates, Mr. Jekyll and Hyde himself.
Maybe Ken Bone?
Maybe we pick up Ken Bone. You never know who you're going to find on the waiver wire of the Welsh. But we will have more coming up right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Waiver wire, the Welsh quarterbacks here. It's starting to get ugly. Like the waiver is starting to dry up because not too many guys got hurt. Obviously, Charles Sims went down and Fat Eddie had his injury. But not too many horrible injuries this week. I'm sure next week we'll make up for it. But quarterbacks, we got Flacco, Tannehill, Fitzpatrick, Hoyer, Lynch, and Derek Anderson.
Destroyed.
All under 50% owned.
As they should be.
So let's take Lynch and Anderson out because, you know, their quarterbacks are going to come back. I didn't even bother with Drew Stanton because Palmer will be back. But Hoyer, the Destroyer, mm-hmm. Fitzpatrick, Ryan Tannehill. Or Jay Flacco-hun from Baltimore. Going to get on down and sure has crab cakes.
I don't know, man. Like, I...
Fantasy basketball.
Do I gotta choose one of these? I mean, Brian Hoyer's interesting. He's been consistently putting up some stats. He's a good garbage time guy. I think all these are, and this is an obvious answer. These are the most matchup quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. Like, you just have to scour and just pray to God they have just an amazing matchup, because I don't know how much I want to mess with any of these guys, though I could see myself more prone putting putting Brian Hoyer out there, maybe.
Okay.
Flacco.
I think Fitzpatrick is still my guy, because Brian Hoyer does have Cutler there. I mean, I know they're non-committal to Cutler.
Are you talking rest of season option?
Yeah. I would say, like, if you had rest of season 1-4, I would go.
I might go Flacco.
I would go Fitz, Flacco, Hoyer, Tannehill.
I would go Flacco, Fitz, Tannehill, Flacco. Hoyer, Flacco.
Jay Flacco, Hahn.
I could just see if it got nasty that the Geno comes in and
Already nasty.
Broken jaw and all. Like the Walking Dead will come in.
There was a lot of camera panning to Geno Smith on the sideline against Pittsburgh.
That's what it's come to.
Running backs. Well, there's some good ones in here, but it's not as deep as it usually is. So we've got Jacquizz, who, of course, looked really good on Monday night. Jalen Richard, who you mentioned before, Rashard, however you say his dumb name. Cameron Artis Payne. James White, under 50%, surprisingly. Fozzie, James Starks, J.H.I., Dixon, Bilal Powell, Bobby Rainey, and Orleans Darkwa, the Welsh.
The greatest team name I've heard, by the way, lately is the Darkwa, the Berry, the Sweeter, the Juice. That is the greatest team name I've heard in a long time. So what are we doing? Are we picking three guys? I don't think any of these. I think people are going to storm the gates of Stark's Castle to pick up Jacquizz Rodgers, and I don't think that's what you want to do. There's a bye week, and Doug Martin will be back against the 49ers coming off of a bye week.
Yeah.
Jacquizz will still get some run, but I don't know. I don't see that as a long term, though. He could absolutely fill the Charles Sims hole.
Amazing.
And he could be a PPR option. But so what do we want to do? We want to pick up our top three?
Let's go three.
Okay. Let's assume we're talking PPR here, because I think I'm going to go James White, because I love James White with Tom Brady.
Samesies.
I'm going to go with your guy, Kenneth Dixon, too, for the long run. And then I kind of want to go Fozzie, but I think I'm going to go Bilal Powell.
Sorry, I had to panic there. My headphone cord touched my ankle, and I thought it was a bug, so I panicked.
God, that would have been great.
So you went, give it to me again. It was White, Dixon, and...
Oh, yeah, White and Dixon. That's a great name. That's a great team name right there.
Little White Dixon. it was a third.
Powell.
Yeah,
it could be Little White Darkwa. White Dixon Darkwa.
All right. I'm going to take the top two the same. I'm going to flip them though. I'm going to go Dixon and then James White, and then I'm going to go with Quiz for the third down back roll now that Charles Sims is on the IR.
Okay.
I think he can. I mean, and he proved he can fill in a pinch. So if Doug Martin goes down again or something happens where he's gimpy or has a hamstring injury and he's not at 100%, Quiz can fill in.
And it's important for people to know that Jacquizz knows and played in Dirk Cutter's system in Atlanta. So he's an easy fill in and he's an easy option for Dirk to go to. So he really does potentially have season long value. I just don't know if I'm a number one waiver claim on Jacquizz Rodgers or anything like that. If you're struggling and you got like five or six or something, yeah, put a claim on it, I'm sure.
I don't know if there's much here to be the number one waiver guy on, but we'll see. But wide receivers, the Welsh, we've got a big mess of them. We got guys like Sammy Coates is still 36%, Cameron Meredith, 3% owned.
That'll be the big one.
Adam Thielen, 2% owned. He had a big game with Diggs missing. Jeremy Curley, obviously, with a big game at 8%. And then guys like Cruz and Beasley and Teddy Gann and Bolden and Robert Woods and Chris Hogan are still on the wire.
Okay.
So let's do the same thing we did with running backs. Three for the rest of the season.
All right. Cole Beasley still. Let's not forget Cole. Sammy Coates. Now, I want to say Jeremy Curley.
It's a little story you got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well.
I'm going to go with Curley. What was that?
That was Paul Revere from the Beastie Boys.
All right. You've done enough rapping today. If Belichick would have done that, it would have been fine. But you push the line there with Bogdan.
Here's a little story I have to tell about three bad brothers I know so well.
Chris Hogan, Danny Amendola, and some other guy. Malcolm Mitchell. All right. I'm going to say Jeremy Curley, but the caveat here, I am incredibly worried because the 49ers are legitimately thinking about starting Christian Ponder, Colin Kaepernick.
Well, Kaepernick is going next week. All right. I'm going to go with Beasley, Coates, and Curley. Samesies. Yeah, same way.
I'm interested in Cam Meredith, though.
Yeah.
Deep league.
That's like a side chick.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of great Cam Meredith and Christine Michael, a bunch of great NFL names that are floating out there. Sure. Let's finish this off with tight ends.
Dontrell Inman.
Mm-hmm.
Tight ends, the Welsh. Speaking
Humphreys,
of Inman.
Adam Humphreys.
We have Richard Rodgers, Cameron Brate, Jacob Tammy, Will Tide, Jesse James, Hunter Henry, and Jack Doyle. I thought it was interesting that Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates both scored a touchdown, ran together pretty well in the same system.
I know, I didn't mean to change the subject here, but I know a Jesse James, don't I? But it's a completely
Jesse
different sport.
Jane.
Oh, Jesse Jane, completely different one.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What did you tell me? What did you say?
I was talking about how Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates were looking pretty good on the field together.
Yeah, I was surprised that they were that effective. They're like everything that the Chargers wanted Ladarius Green and Antonio Gates to be.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to make the tight end position great again. I think easy Hunter Henry. I mean, Jesse James was more involved this week, but like we said, Eli Rogers could be coming back. Marcus
like
Wheaton's
Brate,
still an option.
I think if I was picking one up, it would be Brate over any of them, just because Gates.
I think Hunter Henry, though. Hunter Henry's got to be the guy, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess.
Do you want to do a Cameron Brate Hunter Henry bet from week five on?
God, that makes me hate football, and I don't want to do that. Like, if that bet existed, I would just be like, why?
Oh, come on. It's fun.
Maybe we could do that as a one-time, no halftime bet on a week.
Have fun.
Yeah, so much fun. That's what we like to have. Tight ends, not so much. Unless you got Martellus Bennett and Jimmy Graham, then tight end position's great.
Yeah, especially for the Welsh.
We're making fantasy and tight ends great again. All right, there you go. There's your waivers. Hopefully you can pick up some goodies. If you got more questions, you can find us on Twitter. Is it the Welsh? Bogman Sports. We'll be glad to answer your questions. But we got plenty more advice as we are going to be joined by two more guests. It's going to be a smorgasbord of fantasy goodness as two-thirds of the fantasy footballers are going to be joining us. It's Mike Wright. It's Jason Moore, who, by the way, you're going to hear after our show. They air after our show, so you can hear the fantasy footballers. But Mike and Jason are going to be joining us on the other side of this break. So don't go anywhere for hour two. We're going to make fantasy great again because we are in this league. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, week six is here. Bogman, officially, we have passed the one-third mark. Does that sound right? Or no, we're into the one-third mark.
Officially official.
The official one-third mark of the NFL season is already passing by, which is just absolutely incredible. We had these guys on last year. You obviously know them. They're at the top of the fantasy football world, be it podcasts, just be it media, and they're doing it the right way. And guess what? They're almost probably within throwing distance. If I was Uncle Rico, I might be able to throw a football over to these guys because they're out here in Phoenix with us. We got two-thirds of the fantasy footballers. It's Mike Wright, Jason Moore on Twitter at FF Hitman at Jason FFL. Brothers, what's going on?
Hey, you got the good two-thirds. So
yeah, what happened to Andy? Why are you ducking me, man?
Hanging Andy out to dry.
Andy's on that well-deserved family vacation, getting some beach time with the kiddos. So we're holding down the fort while he's away.
He's just out there just enjoying life, and we're all just grinding here. We're talking about it. Rankings are like, it's almost like the dentist at this point. Like, it's good. We're doing something we love, so we're complaining about, you know, first world fantasy problems here. But rankings can be so tedious. And you guys are like up near the top of the fantasy pro rankers and everything.
Yes. Go ahead. Takes a lot of work, and I completely agree with you. It is still completely fine to complain about it.
Yes.
Because even though we've got, you know, a great job and we're very lucky, if
the hard parts could also go away, that'd be great.
It'd be the best ever.
Yeah, I just want to like sit around and just watch football and talk fantasy. That's almost why, that's pretty much what Bogman and I do, and that's why we haven't reached the level of fantasy footballers, because we're we're a bunch of lazy asses over here doing what we do. But you guys can find everything that they're doing at thefantasyfootballers.com. They're the easiest fantasy football podcast to find. Type in any word that resembles football or fantasy, and they will come up right at the top if you aren't already subscribed to them. You guys are doing daily content. What all, like, we talked last year, and you guys had a huge monopoly going on. What are some of the stuff that's happening now? You guys are doing, like, you got the daily shows. You're up on, your YouTube channel's fantastic. Let's give some plugs to you guys. Not that you need them.
Sure. I really appreciate that. Yeah, the daily pod going five times a week. And for those, we're actually a yearly fantasy football pod. So we obviously the episodes have to get cut down. But even January through April, when there's not much going on.
Oh, those are the fun shows.
We're still talking fantasy football. TheFantasyFootballers.com, we have a stable of fantastic staff writers. So, I mean, there's new articles going up every single day. And just, you know, trying to keep fantasy football fun, like you guys, of it's very easy to get caught up in the grind of the numbers, the wins and the losses. But we're trying to make sure that even if you're losing, I mean, you're still playing a very fun game. It's a ridiculous thing that we do, that how involved we get in this hobby of ours. But we try to make sure that don't just win and win some money. That's fine. But, you know, have some fun along the way as well.
Fantasy's life.
What it's all about.
Yeah, that's what we talk about. Fantasy's life. It's a ton of fun to play. And, you know, we have those similarities and people know that in the podcast. And not only do we want to give you guys information, but we want to create a good fantasy community. We want to make you laugh, have some fun while you're actually diving into these analytics. So let's get right into this. By the way, I say again, FF Hitman and FF Jason FFL, you can find on Twitter. Follow those guys and the FF Ballers. I'm not going to plug Andy because he's ditching us and he's dodging us, man. Yeah. But, you know.
Screw that guy.
Yeah, screw that guy. I didn't want to talk about Andy. But I want to talk about this because you guys are all out here. We're all out here. We all see the Cardinals. And I believe, am I correct that you guys are all Cardinals fans?
Huge.
Okay. Yep. And you guys have definitely coined some great stuff with David Johnson. In my eyes, I know statistically, actually, I think DeMarco Murray's like a point ahead in some of the PPR formats, but David Johnson has been maybe the number one fantasy player. And at running back, it's pretty fascinating. He's been super consistent, 600 plus total yards receiving and rushing. What do you think on David Johnson rest of year? How did you come in approaching him? Where were you ranking him in drafting? And what do you think going forward the rest of the season? Is this the type of guy you would sell at his absolute peak if you could get two top 20 players, or is he the guy you run to the championship?
Going into the season, he was my number one overall running back. The talent pops off the screen. Even the casual person watching David Johnson can notice this guy is doing things at a much higher level than the average group of running back. Throw together that he's a spectacular pass catcher. I mean, you talk about him being a converted wide receiver, so you know that's part of his game. He's on a high-powered offense, even though they've been struggling recently. I still consider them one of the higher-powered offenses. I think they can get it back on track. And then we have this whole summer gush of love. We got that inside look, that the documentary, the All or Nothing from Amazon.
Yeah.
And you saw Bruce Arians after, well, first of all, that you talked to how much they loved him. They missed out on Amir Abdullah, and then they were talking about David Johnson. They said he does everything that Andre Ellington does, except he's much larger
and good.
You know that.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you saw after week one, I believe it was, they're in the back going, yeah, well, he'll probably be our bell cow by Thanksgiving. So they, even before the injuries, when the fantasy community kind of grabbed hold, like, well, David Johnson now has the opportunity. Bruce Arians was already planning on this to be the future for the Arizona Cardinals. So I mean, every box you can check for fantasy purposes, especially, David Johnson checked every one. So he was my number one guy. I'm not trading him. I'm in our listener league. I have David Johnson. And because of how my team was structured, I was offered Antonio Brown for David Johnson. Now, usually I would strongly think about that. But because of my running back situation, I was like, I am actually turning down a trade for Antonio Brown because David Johnson is that important to my running back position. And I think
continues to be a top three fantasy option every single week. I don't worry about it. I plug him in and he's good to go.
Hey, Jason, I want to ask you real quick on this kind of David Johnson front. We covered a whole lot in the preseason, though I don't know if I've looked so good about it with how running backs have gone. But I have always felt, and we had a lot of Chris Harris was on here, a lot of people on the podcast kind of reiterating the same points we did at week one with Brandon Marion Lee, where it seemed like the forgotten running back, the no running back strategy was just a bit overdone. It seemed like it was a bit overplayed. And when you go look, Bogman, what is our Champions League? Is it half point PPR or full point PPR?
Yeah, it's half point.
Okay, I'm looking at a half point PPR ranking on Yahoo, and I've got like in the top six or five of positional players, I got five running backs. I got DeMarco Murray, who's having an incredible year, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott. Do you think like what we're seeing is the reemergence of this new form of fantasy running back where they're not irrelevant? They are still relevant, and David Johnson's kind of the leader of the pack maybe for the next couple of years?
No, I mean, yes, but I don't think it's new. I don't think it ever actually went away. I mean, if you look back at the last decade, the top running backs are usually, I mean, if you take the top 10 running backs and the top 10 wide receivers, the running backs score more. They are actually more valuable in fantasy. It's really when you get down to that like 20 through 30, those guys, wide receivers, just completely outscore them because of the running back by committees. You just don't have a lot of depth at running back. That makes running back all the more important right now. I mean, if you look at the teams, go to your league right now and look at the teams who are winning, and they probably have one of these, you know, one or two of the guys like the David Johnsons and Ezekiel Elliott's and DeMarco Murray's and LeSean McCoy's,
Le'Veon,
Melvin Gordon. I mean, those guys are on the rosters that are winning, and you need those guys to be able to fill those spots. So, I mean, that's what I was going to say on the David Johnson front is you can't trade David Johnson. You just can't trade away Le'Veon Bell. I made an offer in jest in our league of record to try to get Le'Veon Bell, and my genuine offer, and I knew it was going to be turned down immediately.
I'm nervous.
It was Jeremy Hill, DeSean Jackson, Kyle Rudolph. I believe Michael Crabtree was also in there, and Will Fuller.
Quantity over quality.
Yeah, exact. Give me.
Oh, this was a team that has no depth as well.
That's a lot of depth.
They could have actually used it. Those are decent pieces, but I know that I can pair together a flex option every single week. If you can get a David Johnson, a Le'Veon Bell, and an Antonio Brown, I mean, there's a handful. There's five or six guys in the league that are true positional difference makers, game winners, and you need those guys to take you to the championship.
Do we all agree Odell Beckham Jr. straight up for David Johnson? You're doing that move in a heartbeat?
Heartbeat.
Okay, we all agree on that. Yeah. Can I? Which one of you coined the David Johnson song, by the way, the incredibly catchy one? Was it you, Mike?
That was me. That was just in a fit of absolute joy. Jason and I had kind of just, we got turned on to him during the whole combine process, and because he went in and he blew the doors off of just every metric that anything you can measure. And then you go back and watch his tape
was, and you're so like, amazing. Pretty.
You're like, wow, he's very, very good.
And then he gets drafted by our team.
Yeah. So I was so happy. It just came out.
So what I'm nudging, is like, can I get a little of the David Johnson?
David Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm even going to put it to our creative listeners real quick, because it's a completely different podcast. In our podcast, our basketball podcast, we did the Marching Gortat Bogman. Someone wrote the lyrics to SpongeBob Gortat Pants. Someone needs to write a full, and I have the lyrics and I'm going to make the song. Someone needs to write a full David Johnson song.
Oh, get Love Roller Coaster going?
Yeah, I think it should happen. All right, Bogman, what else we got? Sure.
Well, what is not a perfect storm in Arizona is Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd has 34 targets and 12 catches.
What?
He can't catch the ball. Do you guys think this is more Michael Floyd problem or Carson Palmer problem? And what are you doing with him moving forward this year?
It's definitely a Michael Floyd problem. There's been too many plays that, I mean, you know, he's run the wrong route and caused a Carson interception, or he's been hit in the chest at a wide open third. You know, we saw that with Drew Stanton this last week. He hits him on a perfect third down strike and he just drops the ball. You know, I don't know if it's because of the contract year or it's just in the head right now, but I actually think it is more the perfect storm because you forget that Larry Fitzgerald is a Hall of Famer, Pro Bowl current caliber. You forget that Larry Fitzgerald had 109 receptions, same as Brandon Marshall did last year. And John Brown, who had the concussion in preseason and early on, took a few weeks to get involved. Now the perfect storm is Larry Fitzgerald is amazing. John Brown was my guy coming into this season as an upside guy. And I never bought in preseason into the Michael Floyd hype. He has his good games, and he will have good games. If you have him, you're not dropping him. You're not going to be able to trade him. You just have to hold on. But he's a hard start. I mean, you're just pretty much never going to want to actually start him. He is the perfect package trade guy, right? Like the package that I just illustrated of, like, give a bunch of these guys and try to go get someone elite. Because what are you ever going to do with him? When are you going to start him? You know, put him in a 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 trade and go get someone that you can start.
I like him. I've given him the nickname David Copperfield because nobody can disappear on the field like Michael Floyd. That guy can just completely become irrelevant and you don't even know that he's here at this point. To be honest with you, there's probably, I'd be curious what you guys have to say about this. I think I might be more interested in someone like Cam Meredith right now over Michael Floyd. I think I'd probably start him, especially with Kevin White going out. But I love the idea of trading him. Would you be as nuts to drop a guy like Michael Floyd if you could pick up one of these, I don't know, maybe Will Fuller would, for whatever reason, was on the wire, or someone like a Cam Meredith?
Sure. Will Fuller, if Sammy Coates is on your waiver wire, which is very possible, I would drop Floyd for him. He's like Jason said, I mean, it's so difficult where last year, once he finally recovered from that hand injury, I mean, he had, what, 500 plus yard games in the last nine or so? I mean, he was spectacular for a stretch, but he clearly cannot handle the contract situation. I mean, he's playing for literally millions of dollars right now, and that pressure, I think, is just too much for him.
And if you watch this last game, Jerron Brown, or as some of our writers have nicknamed him, Jerong Brown, as in the wrong J Brown. But Jerron Brown was running ahead of Michael Floyd through much of the game.
It looks like Michael Floyd has dropped millions of dollars along with lots of football.
Yes, he has.
That's beautiful.
Oh, no, he hasn't. There's always teams like Oakland Raiders that'll pay for him.
There's somebody that's going to... Oh, my, dude, the Cleveland's totally going to overpay for him. They're going to give him like close to double-digit numbers. I know what? I hope that happens because then it continues the allure of the laughter of Cleveland. I hope he doesn't sign somewhere good where he... I don't know, like the Patriots or something like that. Let's move past the Cardinals a little bit. It's just some good coverage. You guys watch them and obviously have a better insight than most. Just in the overall scope, we've kind of been focusing a little bit on running backs here. Do you guys have any grab and stash type of running backs? They all seem to be dropping right now. We're starting to get into the phase of the season where, you know, some of these guys that people have drafted, the Derrick Henrys, the DeAndre Washington, slowly may start to pay off, but then you're also taking a look at the Kenyon Drakes, the Kenneth Dixons. So, you know, where some of the movement happens with some of the starting lineups. I think Justin Forsett's working out for the Lions. So any grab and stash running backs that people should be on the lookout for?
Sure. I'll throw out a couple names. He was a stash a couple weeks ago, and then he got banged up really fast. And that's Dwayne Washington. I personally am still holding on to him if I picked him up. I assume that a lot of people would be dropping him immediately, but we've seen what they can do in the running game with Theo Riddick and Zenner, and it's close to nothing. Riddick is spectacular at what he does, but they need somebody who can be an actual between the tackles runner, get the goal line carry. So I think he's still an interesting hold. I'll also throw out the much hyped undrafted free agent of Josh Ferguson, where simply because, not because he's been effective, but last week, Robert Turbin, who was the number two guy, they made him inactive. Right, he was that healthy scratch, and Josh,
It's hard to be good in Indy behind that line. It's horrible.
But the nice thing for Josh Ferguson, which many people don't really notice, go look at his reception.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's not a running back
because he's a Theo Riddick type of player. You talking two catches against Chicago, seven against Jacksonville, three San Diego, five against Denver. So this guy is getting a strong play in the receiving game as far as a running back is concerned. Frank Gore is pretty much an Iron Man, but if we're talking just a stash, a player whose value I could see going way up, if something happened to Gore, they're going to have to pass the ball off to Ferguson.
The two guys that I would throw out, the number one name by a mile is Kenneth Dixon to me. You saw Mark Trestman. Mark Trestman was fired, the offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, and the reason he was fired was because he wants to throw too much and they want to run more, and he just won't do it. He never has. He said, not going to do it.
Wouldn't be prudent. Not gonna do it.
Right. And so this last week, he disappointed a lot of owners because they thought, oh, he's gonna be active, he's gonna be involved. I think he got one carry for negative 3 yards. It was the Terrence West show. Look, Terrence West, do you remember when he came on hot for the Cleveland Browns and then wasn't on the Cleveland Browns like 4 weeks later? So I'm saying Kenneth Dixon is the guy I want. And the other name that I might throw out there is Wendell Smallwood.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think Ryan Matthews is a pillar of health. And he's also, because of his bloated contract, he's not the future for the Eagles. This is a team building. Wendell Smallwood showed he could be productive when Ryan Matthews was injured. So he's another grab and stash.
So would you guys, moving forward for the rest of the season, as far as running backs go, would you rather have Sproles, Matthews, or Smallwood?
Matthews. If I got to have one, I'm definitely taking the starter. Yeah, I agree.
So bad. I think I'd rather have Sproles over him.
If I'm in PPR, I think it's hard to ignore having Sproles, but I don't know. Half point in standard. I mean, yeah, if you're giving me the option, I think I would go Matthews too.
If I'm in full point PPR, there's no chance. I mean, I'm taking Ryan Matthews over Sproles in full point PPR because I think he's going to be able to have big, huge games where, you know, he's the clear goal line back. And I've said this on our show. I said it today on today's show. I'll say it next week after Ryan Matthews has another good game. I'm trading him.
Yeah,
I don't want him.
Yeah.
But his value is there. You're never trading Darren Sproles for, you know, another needed asset on your team.
And you're talking to a Ryan Matthews.
And the injury
truther.
History helps out.
I'm a Ryan Matthews truther probably for the rest of my life. So I just, I like him.
Unhitch your wagon.
No, dude, I think he's good. He had a 30-yard run called back on a ridiculous penalty.
He's a good running back. His whole thing is just health. He doesn't need to unhitch his wagon. He just needs to hitch on like a Red Cross wagon.
Yes.
The Ryan Matthews
get an ambulance to follow you around at all times on that wagon. We've had this argument in the ITL Army, the Welsh, because we have Eagles fans and Bears fans, and they argue between Jeremy Langford and Ryan Matthews. And I say,
come on.
Langford is plotting. He's not a good running back, but Matthews is much better. But Matthews is always hurt. And then, of course, the week after I said that, Jeremy Langford rolled his ankle and he's going to miss 8 weeks.
Two horrible options, by the way. You know, Ryan Matthews should get into Westworld and just have some fake robot body parts. He'd be a much better running back.
That's true.
What about the Jacksonville situation, guys, between Ivory or Yeldon for the rest of the season? We all were waiting for Ivory to come back because it looked like Yeldon was just, he was getting the time and doing nothing with it. And then Ivory came back and he looked even worse than Yeldon. So what are you doing in that situation?
I'm vomiting all over myself.
if you're in that situation, you're in the situation where you say, I'm looking for running backs. I need a running back. I have right now a bye week issue in one of my leagues where I'm left with Chris Ivory. And the way that I think of that is that I don't have a running back to start.
You were even talking about, should I just pick up and play John Kuhn?
Right. I mean, is John Kuhn as valuable an option? You know, I think going forward, you're going to have Chris Ivory with the workload, despite what we saw with TJ Yeldon. You know, Chris Ivory in the last 2 weeks, he's had 20 attempts. He's done absolutely nothing with those attempts. You coming off of the bye, you hope maybe they can get it together. Maybe they can fix up some offensive line stuff. They lost an offensive lineman. That's never going to, although it might help in the sense that he wasn't very good. The truth is I wouldn't want either option. If I had to pick one, in most formats, I think the more value play will come from, I don't expect Jacksonville to be up and to be running out the clock all too often. So you go with the pass catching TJ Yeldon.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I don't want either.
Yeah, Bogman, what was it? Didn't we, was it Howard Bender or Chris Harris, whoever we had on recently, where we asked, we're like, would you rather have the Baltimore or the Jags running back situation? We're all just like, blah, it's awful.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, Baltimore has looked a little bit better.
Those were some good questions, the Welsh. And now we're going to move on to our plays for week six. That's right. We had some good ones last week. We had some okay ones last week. And we're gonna make it great again. I've got my red Izod sweater on order, since I can do 2X on that. A little big for me in 2X, but I'll throw the 2X on.
We really are missing it, but we're missing a Bogman Ken Bone mashup. That's what we need. We need the Bog Zone.
I think all I need to do is turn my goatee into a mustache.
Guaranteed.
And I'll be, well, I mean, I've got a lot of hair. So
let's get that red eyes on Twitter. Bone Zone, Ken Bone, Scott Bogman.
The Bone Zone. All right. Well, we've got the plays for week six coming up right after this break on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All right, guys, so how we do this is we've got three categories: quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and then we just kind of get three ideas behind them. So, like, for quarterbacks, we're going to talk about 300-yard lock, who's a quarterback for a 300-yard lock, a turnover machine. So we're going to just go through these, have this fun game. You can pick some obvious answers, or you can kind of, you can dig a little bit and try to find some that maybe even are applicable for people to pick up, if you would like to do that. Bogman, I don't want to go into it, but I think I did pretty good. Didn't I say Tom Brady was a 400-yard lock, and I nailed that
one? I don't want to go into it.
I do want to brag about Tom Brady.
I mean, I don't want to go into it, but I sure was right about a lot of stuff.
You had Tom Brady, but you also picked C.J. Anderson as the yards leader.
Oh, I did. All right, let's move on then. Let's move on. We don't need to talk about that. Let's get to that. We got important stuff. These are busy guys, Bogman. Don't bore them with the details. All right, so let's get into this then. So I will start us off then. We're going to start in quarterbacks, and we're going to talk about our 300-yard lock of the week. And this is actually my favorite. I like the one you pick, Bogman, but my guy who had a big week last week, I'm gonna go with Marcus Mariota going against Cleveland, because here's my analysis: it's against Cleveland. I think that's good enough. DeMarco Murray, the best running back at the wide receiver, or the best receiving running back right now, and Mariota seems to be moving along. So I like 300 yards passing. I like some rushing touchdowns. Give me Marcus Mariota for my 300-yard lock.
If he's ever gonna throw for 300 yards, it's gonna be this week.
Damn right.
I've got a Roethlisberger at Miami, because it's Roethlisberger at Miami. I mean, yeah. The Jets have a pretty decent defense. I mean, the secondary has been bad, and he threw all over them. But Miami has looked as pathetic as Cleveland this year, so I think Ben gets to 300 easy in that one.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's just a game you just want to vomit on if you're watching both of those. So I leave this up to you guys. You guys can go back and forth, or you can both give an answer, however you want to do it, but give us your 300-yard lock.
Sure. My 300-yard lock this week is going to be Carson Palmer.
Oh, you took mine.
That's why I wanted to go first. Not just because, you know, we're Arizona. Look, the Jets, you just mentioned it, their secondary has been terrible. They still have a really good run defense. You know, it's going to be one of those things where David Johnson's going to be involved through the air. Vegas has it as the second highest over-under on total points scored. That means yards have to be put up. I think Carson Palmer, with the wait until Monday, is going to be fine to clear the concussion protocol. I don't see how he does not throw for 300 yards.
Yeah, the Jets are, they're literally averaging giving up over 300 yards through the air. So that sounds like a 300-yard lock to me. Guy at home who frequently throws over 300, I'll take him.
I like
you,
it.
Homers.
yeah, it's a homer. That's right. Yet. Those Cardinals.
You with it.
All right, how about this one? We'll start with you guys then on this one. This is our quarterback turnover machine. The guy that you, be it a starter, be it a low-end guy, I mean, we really could call this the Ryan Fitzpatrick, but who's going to be your turnover machine this week?
I thought about Fitzpatrick, but I'm going to go with San Francisco quarterback to be named later, because it might be Blaine Gabbert. It might be Colin Kaepernick. It might be Christian Ponder. We just don't know yet. But what we do know is they're taking on the Bills. Ugh. And the Bills as a team, who started off, they were in a dumpster fire to start the season. They've put that out since the firing of Greg Roman. That team has really turned it around. You have the shutout of the Patriots. I know it was Jacoby, as we call him, Jacoby Beef Brisket, Brissett, but still, to shut out the Patriots is no small feat. So and we've seen San Francisco's offense be just the worst. Blaine Gabbert is overthrowing guys all over the place. And I think that the Bills can take advantage of it. So I'll take whoever plays for San Francisco.
So bad.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Now I have to go get brisket.
Yeah.
Now I'm craving brisket.
I'm going to go with a guy who he has only thrown 2 interceptions on the year.
Oh, you're going to. Oh.
Okay. All year, he's only thrown 2 interceptions. He's also pretty much the number one quarterback in the league that I just do not believe or buy into, and that is Matty Ice, Matt Ryan.
Whoa.
He's not going to finish the year with a total of 7 interceptions. He's going to be double-digit interceptions this season, and where is that going to happen better than at Seattle against the Seahawks? He's got, you know, back-to-back difficult games here, and I think that you're going to start to see some of it buckle, and I think the Seahawks step up and pick him up a couple times.
I agree. Bogman, what do you think?
I got to go with Phillip Rivers versus Denver. I mean, the offensive line for San Diego is constantly banged up. I mean, it's been 5 weeks, so now they're down to 3rd and 4th starters. I don't know how he's going to stay upright the whole year. He's got, young wide receivers running wrong routes and stuff. You see him screaming as wideouts all the time, even the good ones. I mean, it's Phillip Rivers. But I don't see him not turning the ball over a bunch versus Denver, so I got to go with him.
All right, I feel like this is going to be – I picked him last week. I'm going to continuously pick him until he's the turnover machine, which probably bodes well for Cowboy fans. I'm going to pick Dak Prescott again. How has this guy, how has he not turned the ball over? How does he not have a pick? I keep looking at
it. He had a fumble at the end of
No, but he doesn't have
yesterday.
A pick. It's 5 games.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a pick. This is unbelievable. And I know Green Bay is in that middle end. I think they give up like 11 or 12th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. But I like the Packers to be all in Dak's face. I don't know if Dez is going to play, but I'm gonna say we're going to get 3 turnovers for Dak, 2 picks and a fumble, maybe more. Guaranteed, he has 0 picks and 4 touchdowns now.
So I'm just gonna go ahead and say, then you will be picking him in week 7 as well,
and 8 and 9.
Yes.
Did you see the report? The Bengals broke down Dak Prescott's tape, and whatever, it's a fluff piece. But the Bengals said Dak has not thrown 1 bad pass this entire season. That was their analysis.
What happened? What is Jerry Jones? Did you see Jerry Jones, by the way, came out and said, oh, Tony Romo's our number one? What does he do when Dak Prescott has 0 turnovers and he comes back and he dares put Tony Romo in? It'll riot.
You have to put Tony Romo in. Look, Dak Prescott, he has impressed the heck out of me as a rookie. But when you get into the playoffs, look at last year. Trevor Siemian and Peyton Manning.
Look at Brian Hoyer was perfectly fine last year all throughout the regular season, slinging it around. You get into the playoffs.
Well, it's not like Tony Romo's been much better in the playoffs.
That's true.
No, but he's that veteran. And it's not like Peyton Manning has a great history of being great in the playoffs either. That was a knock on him. But the Broncos do not win the Super Bowl last year with Brock Osweiler as the starter.
Agreed.
I don't believe so. I think it is the right call to put Tony Romo in there. But the nice thing is that Cowboys fans can be upset because they have another option.
They got to have something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I'm just setting myself up too. There will be massive amounts of tweets one way or another. People, Cowboy fans, just slamming me, or me just being completely obnoxious when Dak throws.
I mean, he's a rookie, so you feel like it's got to come.
It's got to happen.
Time.
This is incredible. But we beat this dead. Like the best situation a rookie quarterback could have walked in, outside of having a healthy Dez Bryant, that would have been just a little bit better. But Cole Beasley's been amazing. All right, let's move to the last one on the quarterbacks here. This is going to be our garbage time favorite, the Blake Bortles special. And one of the guys we just talked about, I am going to go with Brock Osweiler this week. I think with a little bit of Brock Osweiler against it's the Colts, right?
Yeah.
The Colts, Bogman. The Colts. I don't need to
explain
anything.
Yeah, the Colts secondary is absolutely atrocious. I'm going to take Andy Dalton at New England. I don't know what is going on with Cincinnati. I thought they could beat Dallas. I figured they'd get back on track, but they just blew it there, and New England is going to blow the doors off of them, and maybe Andy Dalton gets some garbage time trying to mop up after that one.
What do you guys think? Garbage time quarterbacks.
Garbage Time Quarterback Special is going
to
be
take mine again.
Drew Brees.
Okay, we're good.
Drew Brees, he plays at home, which you want Drew Brees at home. He plays against Carolina, which means he will be down, and then he will need to pass the ball a lot to try to come back. I think that's going to be a high-scoring game, and I'm always taking Drew Brees at home.
I'm taking Ryan Tannehill, gets at home against the Steelers. Big Ben is he should be a lock. I agree with the 300 yards thing, but we know that Big Ben is not as good on the road. But against the Dolphins, I think this is still a very winnable matchup for Big Ben, which means Ryan Tannehill will be facing a second half deficit. So I like him to air it out in the second half.
I actually really like that one. I almost took Tannehill. All right, let's move down to running backs here. We got three choices, and we will let you guys start off here. Just don't take my guy, please. Running backs, week six yards leader. What do you think? Who's going to bust out with the rushing yards in week six?
I'm taking Lamar Miller.
Oh, so you guys took it. Mine instead. Okay, I see how it is.
Everyone's going to be down on him. He had a bad week against Minnesota, the freaking Vikings, who have an elite level defense. One of our writers just messaged us and said the Minnesota Vikings defense, also known as running back 10 in PPR leagues, they're getting it done, and not just for fantasy purposes, but for real life. And the medicine for a struggling running back is the Colts. We saw TJ Yeldon going up against them. They would part the Red Seas for TJ Yeldon to run it up the gut. So I expect Lamar Miller to be back in the game and have another and be over 100.
The yards leader for me is an easy pickin', because they have, I think, in the last 3 weeks given up a total of 425 yards or something like that. And they are going to see a running back who has impressed me like crazy. That is LeSean McCoy.
Yep.
Going to San Francisco. LeSean McCoy's just looked amazingly slippery. He hasn't been the touchdown. Well, actually, he's gotten in the end zone a couple times this year. But while the Niners don't give up as many rushing touchdowns as some other teams, they're giving up the yards, and this is a perfect match for Shady.
Giving up in droves, by the way.
You guys took my first one and my backup.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Screw you, Bogman. What do you got?
I'll go Homer. I'll take Le'Veon Bell versus Miami.
Yeah, like
the defense is still really bad, and if they get up big, it's going to be a lot of downhill running for Bell. So I'll take Le'Veon.
I like that. You know, interesting fact too, when you look at the resurgence of some of the top fantasy running backs that seem to have fallen off, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, all back in conversation. It's nice to see. Week six yards leader, I'm going to go with Todd Gurley, because I think I said it a couple weeks ago, like maybe the Rams are never going to write this, but if they're ever going to write this ship, it's through Todd Gurley. He's got to have that breakout game. It's got to be coming. I think he had 23 rushes this week, 70-ish yards. It's still not there, but let's hope that they can just pound the rock with Todd Gurley, and he has that breakout game that we've been waiting, and all the people that went out and bought him on the cheap this week get rewarded. All right, second running back question here. This is the two quarterback lock, and what I can tell you is I'm on board with your guys' LeSean McCoy stuff. I was going to choose him for yards, but I said, nope. How about touchdowns? Two touchdown lock running back, LeSean McCoy against the Niners, because I'm a 49er fan, and they are just abysmal to watch. They're just the worst.
My fantasy team loves that.
It's the worst thing ever. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But LeSean McCoy, two touchdowns. I like him to be very effective, because like you guys said it exactly. They give up yards like nobody else, and LeSean McCoy is their every down back. So that's what I got. What do you got, Bogman? Two touchdown lock.
Well, it may seem like I'm picking on the Browns, but the Browns suck. So I'm going to go with DeMarco Murray versus Cleveland. Get you guys back on that one. So DeMarco Murray for two touchdowns. I think that could easily happen.
It wouldn't
surprise anyone.
What do you guys think?
All right. You did not take my guy, because I'm going to take C.J. Anderson going against San Diego. San Diego has already given up 8 rushing touchdowns, and we know that we've seen C.J. Anderson kind of take a back seat, but I think that the team improves with Simeon, who's been reported that he will be back. They improve. I expect a lot of points, a lot of scoring opportunities, so I think C.J. Anderson's a lock for two.
Yeah, there's so
he's
many
struggling good, over here.
So many good picks, but I, you know, DeMarco Murray is just the best pick imaginable this week. So I'm gonna agree with that. I'll take Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Green Bay, we saw them shift out of the bye to a slightly different defense. They've been really stingy with their running game. However, this last week they kind of tempted the Giants to run on them by really dropping two safeties for the whole game and trying to help out their depleted secondary. I expect them to do that a little bit again, and Ezekiel Elliott should be a lock for two.
I like that one. Last one on the running backs. This is our PPR flex option. So maybe this is a guy that's been sitting on the bench. Maybe he's on the wire. Probably not the most obvious guy, but someone that you think you can slide into your flex in a PPR league. What do you guys think?
I've got Bobby Rainey as my PPR flex option. He's got 13 receptions the last 2 weeks. He has those receptions because the Giants offense is a disaster. They have, we were talking about this on today's show, that Tom Coughlin, I think the general that was Tom Coughlin, kind of kept these guys in line. And now that Bob McAdoo, who all we also mentioned on the show, looks strikingly like the principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You got to look this up. It's I think he was in the movie, but I'm taking Bobby Rainey. I'm getting those checkdowns from Eli Manning. Who, see, Eli is very off this year. I feel like he makes one or two reads, and if it's not there, he freaks out, spikes the ball on the ground, or he throws it to Bobby Rainey. So that's what I'm going with.
My PPR guy this week is without a doubt Bilal Powell. Yeah. Bilal Powell. Look, the Arizona Cardinals have a great run D, and they get beat nasty by those screen games because they blitz a lot and the screens destroy them. Well, Bilal Powell last week had 6 receptions. The week before that, he had 6 receptions. The week before that, he had 6 receptions. We're talking full mark of the beast. Bilal Powell, he is a PPR monster. He's going to be just fine because Matt Forte will be shut down by that D-line. Bilal Powell.
I like that. We can go, hail Blau. All right, Bobby, what do you think? Here. What do you think, Bogman?
You guys aren't ready for mine. It's CJ Spiller versus Atlanta.
Oh, he got
a week in Seattle. He scored that touchdown, and now he had the bye week to learn the system, and their options are not good. I mean, are we really going to depend on Kristen Michael for
darn
a good
right
chunk
we are.
Of this
no.
season? No way. I can't do it. I can't. It hurts my soul that I have him even in one league. So I'm going to go with CJ Spiller to catch a lot of dump offs from Russ.
It's not hurting your fantasy points, though.
Yeah.
Did this week because he was on a bye. Yeah. Oh, my teams were bad.
I cannot argue that point.
I'm gonna make an adjustment on mine. I wanted to go Duke Johnson just to feel better about myself and why Duke isn't getting the major run. But I am gonna switch it up to your boy Bogman. Let's hook him. Let's go Fozzie Whitaker because I like Fozzie. He's getting the receptions. He's a whole part of the game here. So let's give me some Fozzie. Fozzie.
And that's the real reason why I don't like Christine Michael, actually, is because he's an Aggie.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. All right, let's go down to wide receivers here. We got the final three here. We're going to go good for one touchdown. And I'm going to stay in that same game because it's New Orleans. That's why I like Fozzie. They're going to give up lots of receptions to running backs, as they do. Remember Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. But I'm going to say that hopefully Cam is going to be healthy, but it's not going to matter regardless that Kelvin Benjamin, he's going to get his. So the guy that's good for one touchdown at the wide receiver position, Kelvin Benjamin versus the Saints. What do you think, Boggs?
I'm going to stay in that same game, and I'll go Brandon Cooks versus Carolina because they can't stop the pass at all. Julio put up 300 yards on that defense, and I got to go with Cooks this week.
I am because of this. I am staying in that game.
Yes,
and I'm going to throw out a name that I am getting shamed for because he has been
certainly
atrocious
are.
This year. But I'm telling you, man, Devin Funchess is a lock for a touchdown this week. Derek Anderson has, I mean, go watch the preseason when Derek Anderson was playing. You'd see 10 consecutive targets to Devin Funchess. Derek Anderson comes in last game. He targets Devin Funchess towards the end of that game. Now he's got Drew Brees and you know, the score's going to be going high. I like Kelvin Benjamin. I like Devin Funchess. Give me both.
Oh, Mike.
You please, better take Snead here, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, please stay in this game. Please stay. That would be phenomenal.
I do agree that my man Need for Sneed is probably a lock in that game. However, I'm going to pivot out. I'm going to go with a player who is literally averaging one touchdown a game. That's Michael Crabtree.
So good.
He's been just an absolute beast. He gets to play the Chiefs, who are, as of right now, they are not the scary Kansas City Chiefs defense from last year, dealing with too many injuries. So I'm going to take Crabtree with Carr on fire. We saw that Carr should have had 3 to 4 more touchdowns to Amari Cooper if Cooper had smaller feet, so to speak. So I'm taking Crabtree. The guy's a touchdown magnet right now.
He is. All right. Let's go to number two here on the wide receivers, the week 6 yard leader. What do you guys think? Where are you going to go with the yards leader for wide receiver?
I'm going to piggyback on my 300-yard lock for Carson Palmer. I'm going to pick on the Jets once again. Smokey John Brown.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a good one.
And we saw the reemergence of him. He is back assimilated into that offense, getting heavily targeted. He's the big play threat. So he could get you 75 yards on one play, which certainly helps you be the yardage leader. So I'm going with Smokey Brown.
I'm gonna take the easy road here since I went Devin Funchess. Look, it's gonna be Antonio Brown this week against the Miami Dolphins. They just don't have anybody that's gonna be able to stop him. He's a lock for 300 yards.
Business is booming.
Is he a lock for 2 or 3 twerks when he gets in the end zone? 2 doesn't get the flag, right?
2. Yeah, I think he's a smart guy. I think he's gonna go 2.
All right. I think he's tired of the what's the Higgle McCringleberry rule or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Can't get the third pump in there and he won't get the flag. That's funny. All right, Pogan, what do you think?
Finds nothing to a boss. That's right. I'm gonna go with Allen Robinson at Chicago. Jaguars coming off the bye. We've talked about it before. They've got nothing going in the run game, so I think he's still really high in targets even with the bye week. So I gotta go with A-Rob with a big breakout this week.
I'm gonna also piggyback with my quarterback, and I'm gonna go DeAndre Hopkins. Man, has it not been working. Incredible to know that DeAndre Hopkins has only been targeted in the double digit category once out of 5 games this season. It has to stop. He's played some tough defenses, Kansas City, Minnesota, New England, but he's going against Indianapolis. I would hope that they are smart enough to know that they've got to get him 15 plus targets in this game, and DeAndre Hopkins finally gets it right and he gets rocking. Last one on the wide receivers. This is the surprising sit of the week. Now, I always want to put a caveat here. I don't like sitting my studs. I'm never in that category. And even when I put these guys here, sometimes I'm really iffy about it because you just, you know, what's worse? Is it worse to get burned? You know, in that cat, is it worse to have your best player on the bench and score a bunch, or is it good to have, you know, the so-so guy score just a couple points? I just don't want to get burned by my stud, but I am going to put a
studly with you.
Yeah, I'm going to put a studly wide receiver up here. I'm going to put Amari Cooper. And I'm saying Marcus Peters, all up in his business, Kansas City defense. And the hard part about this is the pure volume that the Oakland Raiders pass the ball. This makes it tough. But Michael Crabtree, like you guys said, he has become one of the sole targets on the team. Amari Cooper is still who he is, but I'm going to say that they're going to hone in on Cooper. Marcus Peters is all over him. He is not going to have a wide receiver one-like day. So in that term, I would say the quote-unquote surprising sit. What do you think, Boggs?
Well, I'm going to go with Travis Benjamin versus Denver. Aqib Talib shut down Julio after his 300-yard game, which is actually going to knock me down a little bit in the no halftime game coming up. But the Travis Benjamin is not Julio. He is not as good. They've got all kinds of offensive line problems, and that is going to be my surprising sit after his 100-yard game from last week.
All right, what do you guys think?
All right, for me, I'm going to go with a guy who has started the year just on fire, and everyone is still fine with him, despite the fact that he only got 37 yards this past week because he got that touchdown, and that is Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones has been the clear-cut number one for Detroit, but he's going up in a game this week against Los Angeles. The Rams have a great defense. Detroit looked pretty poor the second half of this last game, and Vegas has this as the lowest scoring game this week. So if he doesn't get his touchdown, he might disappoint some fantasy owners this week.
You should just call the segment the fade. Fading him.
Because
well, you're not sitting. I'm with you guys that I do not, generally speaking, I don't like to bury or to bench my studs, but I will bury someone statistically and still play them because I know that the upside is there. Just like I'm going to bury a pick from one of the aforementioned segments, and I'm going to body Brandon Cooks because I do not believe in him. I love Drew Brees at home. Look, let's take a look at Brandon Cooks' production in the past 3 weeks. It is less than his week one. Everyone still is in the afterglow. They're showering in that week one, 143 for two touchdowns. Since that time, you can add up his yardage, and he's barely over 100 yards in the last three games combined. And he takes on Carolina.
How'd Julio do?
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks is not Julio Jones.
Okay, but
Brandon Cooks is half of what Julio Jones is. And we'll go look at the Carolina
150
defense.
Yards. No.
Sure. Okay. I walked right into that one. Well done. But the thing is, look, Carolina's defense, Julio Jones got him. The previous 3 weeks, they were not giving up huge amounts of numbers to fantasy wide receivers. So I'm still okay with the Carolina defense. And I can't buy into Brandon Cooks.
I can buy into Brandon Cooks at home. I don't know if you guys have heard this.
Are you buying in for 2 for 13 against Atlanta, one of the best possible matchups for fantasy wide receivers at mm-hmm. home? Because that's what he did.
Well, but in that same weird, weird game, Julio also he just disappeared. It was like, hey, you want to sit your number one and I'll sit my number one and we'll see how it goes. And they're like, sure, that sounds fun.
Go bold or go home is what I say. And I like it. We've got the Mike Wright versus Scott Bogman matchup of Brandon Cooks this weekend. Only one can survive. All right, fellas, we're in the home stretch here. That's some great stuff on the week six plays. I think we're going to hit some of these suckers. But coming up for the last segment, you don't want to go anywhere. We're going to be playing the No Halftime Challenge, and it's wide receivers. We're going to pick the best one for this week. So hook you up for DFS, hook you up for any plays. It's a No Halftime Challenge. We're going to wrap this sucker up with a bow. So don't go anywhere. It's Bogman of the Welsh on In This League at InThisLeague.com right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Be right back.
The No Halftime Battle, brought to you by No Halftime. Player-on-player challenges with the swipe of a finger. Download iOS or Android.
All right, guys, it's the No Halftime Challenge, brought to you by NoHalftime.com. Go check out the app, download it. Use promo code ITL16, get hooked up, as we do it every week. It's the No Halftime Challenge, where we pick one player at a specified position. Just like No Halftime, you do player versus player matchups, just singular players. So we've got our guests, we've got our listeners, Bogman and myself. Bogman, quick recap, because last week was much better for a certain person on the show. How'd it go?
I don't know if I want to go over last week's stuff.
Just talk about who won.
You won. Okay. Amari Cooper, big week, 19.8. Of course, I was last. Julio Jones gave me 2.9. Harris was second at 13.8. And Marky Mark, our listener, 11.6, which puts the standings thusly. I am still winning at 16 points. Ooh. The Welsh is right behind me at 12. Listeners at 11. Guest at 6, fellas. So pick wisely.
Yeah, so last week, Chris Harris did a little bit of work here. So as I said, we have a listener who gets to pick first. And then once that... this week we're doing wide receivers, by the way. And once they've picked a player, you can pick any single player but the one they picked. And then who gets to go? Is it me, Bogman, or you?
You get to go first this time.
Fantastic. Yep. So Brandon W. in the ITL Army, he's up this week, and he picked, of obvious reasons, Antonio Brown versus Miami. So that's off the board here. And we're using, this is a standard DFS scoring. How's it go, Bogman?
Yeah, it's standard, no PPR.
All right, standard, no PPR. Antonio Brown off the board. And now you guys have to pick one. So talk amongst yourselves. Rhode Island is neither a road nor an island. Which wide receiver would you guys combine like to use?
All right, Mike. What are we thinking? What are we thinking here?
Well, he was—he's a guy you talked about that you very much love. This guy, you considered him for your rising star, but you knew you couldn't put him in.
Oh,
Devin Funchess.
Oh,
Devin Funchess was not.
I love it. Do it.
I'm going to take the only wide receiver who has gotten 10 plus targets every single week, and that's T.Y. Hilton.
Boom.
Of the Indianapolis Colts. He goes boom frequently. We already have two games of over 170 yards and a touchdown. with Andrew Luck. I know that they're taking on the Texans. I'm not scared of that passing defense right now. So I'm going to roll. We are going to roll with T.Y. Hilton.
All right, that's a solid one. That's a solid one for the guests. Well, I'm up. I'm going to stick with my week six yards leader because, you know, I put out there, I think he can also get some touchdowns. And I'm going to say this is the DeAndre Hopkins week, like I said. So give me DeAndre Hopkins for my guy this week, which, Bogman, it leaves you some great options. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to take Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. Fantastic. That means I'm going to take the lead this week. That's great. I love it. Well, we also love the always awesome, the very classy, and really the best in the business. It's the Fantasy Footballers. It's Mike Wright. It's Jason Moore. Subbed out, Andy Holloway wasn't able to join us because he's actually doing family things. What's that? I don't even know what that is anymore. But you can find them on Twitter at FFHitman, at Jason FFL, at thefantasyfootballers.com. One of the best podcasts out there. And I mean, you know, it's the most digested fantasy sport that there is. And you guys are doing it year long. I don't know how you do it, but I deeply appreciate everything that you guys do. Always appreciate your time. You've given us plenty of time over the years. And it was good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, always excellent jumping on. I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Let's go. We got to go set up like a flag football, like a podcast flag football league out there.
We've been known to play.
All right, let's do it. I'm completely out of shape, so it'll be like rolling two boulders down the hill.
Yeah. I call offensive lineman.
Yeah, I call head coach.
You got to find guys to play positional stuff. So.
Yeah, well, but when I'm in flag football, I'm in a video game. That's all more of our choice. All right, we love you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Appreciate it.
Well, again, we want to thank Mike. We want to thank Jason, the Fantasy Footballers, for taking some time out for us. You're going to actually be able to hear them here in just a couple minutes, so don't go anywhere. You can hear their show for today. Next week, we got a fantastic show for you, by the way. Pod Vader. Remember Pod Vader? Producing good old Nate Ravitz and Matthew Berry's show. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with that if you're listening to this network. It's going to go old school, and Jay's got a great podcast himself going on, so we're going to be having him on the show, so make sure that you tune in, and we're going to try to maybe even squeeze in some fantasy basketball stuff on here. And if you're jonesing for some fantasy basketball information, maybe some
I need some basketball sports, baby.
Come on, please believe me. If you need college football, you need hockey, you need fantasy basketball information, go to inthisleague.com. We have a bevy of fantasy basketball podcasts, hockey, college football. We got some great info. We're doing some industry leagues with some of the top guys from CBS, Roto World. They're all there. We got you hooked up. We're one of the highly ranked shows for fantasy basketball. So in this league. It's a hub to have so much fun to rock out your fantasy stuff with. And you can check out the ITL Army if you want to support Bogman and I, and you want to, I don't know, be on the cutting edge. You can talk to us all the time with the ITL Army. But until next week, 8 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's where you can find us. It's In This League. It's Bogman of the Welsh. Go download the app. Until then, we will see you next week. Can't spell title without ITL, y'all.
See ya.